Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. Far too frequently, young adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities face often daunting futures. Many have been slow to acquire the skills necessary to live, work, and interact independently. The University of Missouri-St. Louis has developed a post-secondary program to help young people from the ages of 18 to 25 successfully navigate the world that awaits them. It's called Succeed, and that's what we're talking about on today's program. I'm Don Marsh. Joining me to discuss Succeed are Dr. Deborah Baldini, Associate Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences and Continuing Education at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Mark Keeley is Vice President of Support Services with St. Louis ARC. It provides support and services to young people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and to their families. Deborah and Mark, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Deborah, let me start with you. Give us a little of the background, how Succeed evolved, how it got started.
It happened really by accident. Actually, I was having lunch with Kathy Meath, who is the executive director of the St. Louis ARC. We were talking about projects that we were both working on, and as part of our conversation, we both happened to mention how nice it would be if we had the opportunity to develop a post-secondary program for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And quite frankly, that stuck with me, and as it turned out, it became the foundation, sort of the modifying brick that allowed us to move forward in a more focused and purposeful way. So we have probably worked on this for over 5 years, and the University of Missouri-St. Louis and St. Louis ARC together have really worked to build this idea.
And how long has it been operational?
We admitted our first group of students in fall of 2013, so we are in our first active year of the program. We have had the very good support of the three Senate Bill 40 boards in the St. Louis area, and that is the St. Louis Office of DD Resources, the Productive Living Board, that's St. Louis County, and St. Charles County DDRB.
What is that? I'm not sure.
The Developmental Disabilities Board. Do you know what the Senate Bill 40 boards are?
No, I think our audience, I'm not certain, but and I'm sure many in our audience are not.
So Senate Bill 40 boards were started about in the mid-70s. It was legislation, Senate Bill 40, that was passed at that time to allow counties to, based upon voter approval, pass a tax that could be used to fund services and supports to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, primarily around residential and employment-related vocational services. And so, as Debbie indicated, we had been talking about this for 5 years, but UMSL had indicated that we couldn't do it without startup costs being covered. And just so happened those three Senate Bill 40 boards in St. Louis City County and St. Charles County came up with the money that we needed to start the program.
What kind of a budget do you have for it?
The startup budget that we received, the funding that we received, was in the amount of $200,000. This was everything that we needed to really operationalize the ideas that we had built together over 5 years. So there were plenty of examples that I can give you. We really had mapped out every step that we needed to take, but we really couldn't take the steps without any funding. So, for example, we needed to hire a director who would really take over the day-to-day planning and operations of the program. We needed to do marketing. We needed to print marketing materials. We needed to build a website. We needed to increase communications about the program and make people aware that the program existed. So there were just those, all of those things come with dollar signs, and we really could not have gone through the final phase to get up and operating without the support of the Senate Bill 40 boards.
Was special instructional staff necessary for this group?
In some cases, yes. So I want to just do a tiny little pause and talk about sort of the program and the way we conceived it. So there are, across the United States, about 140, 150 post-secondary programs. The large majority are day programs. So participants arrive, They spend the day in certain classes or half a day in classes, and then they go home. So really, what we had envisioned was a program that would really take advantage of the way college and the college experience helps any student. And that is, you learn not just content knowledge from your classes that prepare you for your degree and later a job, but you learn to interact with a broad spectrum of people. You are exposed to different ideas. You learn to live independently from your family. You have to, for example, learn how to do laundry as well as calculus.
Calculus might be easier in some cases.
Yeah, that's true.
So we... One of the benefits that we imagined in having a post-secondary program at UMSL is that the large majority of graduates of UM St. Louis live and work in the St. Louis area. So the benefit for students in the Succeed program would be that they would have access to developing a network of relationships that might take them throughout their life. So this is a two-year non-credit residential program. Students in the program live in residential housing. It's not separate in any way, and we felt that that was really, really critical. So as we began talking about the development of the program, we had certain standards or goals that we felt were really critical, and they were sort of guideposts as we figured out ways to develop a brand new program that would be fully integrated into the campus. And that is not a program that's separate, where students come and are completely separate from other students or faculty or the campus at large, but rather a program that really is meant to be fully inclusive. So our students live in residential housing, and our residential housing is really developed around the idea of learning communities. So I'm going to give you an example. I'm actually a professor of Spanish, so I'm going to give you an example that might be easy to understand.
In English, I hope.
So let's imagine that you have students who are doing a major or a minor in Spanish, and there's a wing in a residence hall that's called the Spanish wing, and you make a commitment to speak Spanish in that wing. So you might have students who are studying for a minor or a major in Spanish, but you might have students who are not. For example, you might have students who are in international business, and they know a little Spanish. They want to make sure that their Spanish remains intact as a skill that they would use for their international business degree. You might have students who are native speakers of Spanish who really want to maintain contact with their culture and their linguistic heritage. And so we have a similar kind of learning community that is for education. Our Succeed students are on that floor, as well as students who are majoring in education, maybe special ed or social work, maybe students who have siblings with an intellectual or developmental disability. But everyone on that floor has opted into that floor. And they have had a really terrific first year together growing. The residential advisors and peer advisors have undergone the same training as advisors for all of the other learning communities. And in addition, they've had special training that's been provided by St. Louis ARC. So it's really been a very purposeful 5 years of planning in a way that would allow the Succeed students to connect to the university and all of the richness that UMSL can offer.
How many students are in the program?
We admitted 16 in fall of 2013, and we are just now receiving applications. We'll begin the review process in March for fall 2014.
Mark, let me turn to you. With regard to intellectual and developmental disabilities, what are we talking about here? I mean, it's a term that is widely used, but what does it really mean?
That's a good question. So developmental disabilities are any disability that occurs prior to the age of 21 that will result in lifelong needs of support, or they'll have restrictions in abilities. So perhaps in receptive and expressive language or mobility or possibility of living independently, those sorts of things. So common ones that people hear about are Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, epilepsy. Certainly autism is a growing one everywhere.
Prior to Succeed, and of course it's a relatively brand new program, if you can, something can be relatively brand new, it's a brand new program. What options did these young people have?
So in Missouri, individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities can go to school till they're age 21. And so that's pretty structured. For the first 21 years, they know exactly what they're doing. At 21, you graduate, and that's when sort of people feel like they fall off the cliff. There isn't really a lot there. The options are you can get a job through competitive employment. You can get supported employment, or you can work in a sheltered workshop, or you could go into a day program. What has been happening, because there aren't a lot of those options out there, is we see a lot of parents who are having to quit their jobs when somebody turns 21 because they're staying home with their son and daughter. And as Debbie indicated, you know, this is a normal thing for all kids. By the time they get to finish with high school, they think about going off to college. And a lot of the Succeed students have watched their brothers and sisters go off to college. And so they said, now it's my turn. So that's one of the reasons why we did this.
So what can they anticipate, Debbie, after the after they receive their certificate? If they don't choose, and they can choose to go on to a full degree if they choose it.
Right. We have I'm going to give you two examples of students who are currently in Succeed. And what we really try to do with the program is we try to individualize the program as much as possible for every student. So I'm going to give you two examples that will give you an idea of what, first of all, what can students, participants in this program, expect during the 2 years, and then what could they see as an outcome? So on the one hand, we do have a few students who are really interested in moving toward a degree, into a degree program. They need to develop a variety of skills. So they need help in managing time. They need help in living independently. So there's not someone standing over them in class saying, you should take notes, or I'm going to take notes for you. You've got homework. You need to study for an hour. You've got a paper due in 2 weeks. You should start researching. They get that kind of support, but it's not 24-hour support. So this isn't a babysitting program. It's really a program that is intentional about helping each participant develop the skills that they'll need to meet their goals. And to be clear, they all have different goals. So there are some who have the goal of participating in this program for 2 years to really give them some essential skills for living independently and being able to enter a degree program at a university. And those students, if you could imagine, over the 4 semesters, we have increasing access to inclusive classes. So they all, for example, in semester one, take the freshman year experience. This is a class required of all freshmen. So it's a one credit class that really sort of introduces them to college life. What is college all about? How do you navigate? How do you meet teachers? How do you work toward homework, etc.? So then we have some that over in each semester, they will be involved to a greater extent in inclusive classes in preparation for the end of the 2 years. So they would be well skilled and able to apply for a degree program. On the other hand, we have some students that really, their goal is not to get a degree. And either a 2-year or a 4-year degree, I should clarify that. But their goal is to gain employment. All students in the Succeed program, just as they're participating in inclusive classes, they also have internship responsibilities. So this is semester 2 of year 1. They are all engaged in internship opportunities on campus at UMSL. Some are paid and some are unpaid. I'd like to tell you a little bit about some of them because these are really meaningful internship opportunities.
Before you do, I have to take a break, and I'd hate to interrupt this. by doing so. Let's take that now. We'll come back and we can have more specifics about the internship program. You've just been hearing from Dr. Debbie Baldini, Associate Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences and Continuing Education at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Also with me in studio is Mark Keeley, Vice President of Support Services for St. Louis ARC. Back to continue the conversation, and also we will meet in a few moments one of the young students who is taking part in the Succeed program. That'll happen after this break. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation on the Succeed program at the University of Missouri-St. Louis, which helps young people aged 18 to 25 who are intellectually and developmentally disabled. But before we continue that conversation, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio and the Beacon Newsroom are following today. Missouri State Board of Education is considering recommendations today for assisting the state's unaccredited school districts. After today's meeting, the plans will be available for public comment before the state board votes in March. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon says the state is still prepared to carry out an execution next week, even though an Oklahoma pharmacy won't be supplying the drug for the lethal injection. Nixon declined to say today whether Missouri would use a different drug other than pentobarbital, which was used in the state's past three executions. And preparations are underway for Vice President Joe Biden's visit to the Metro East tomorrow. Mr. Biden will visit America's central port in Granite City. The White House says the trip is to mark the fifth anniversary of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation with Dr. Debbie Baldini and Mark Keeley. Debbie, I'm sorry that I had to interrupt you, but we were talking about this internship program. Why don't you pick it up from where you left off?
I just wanted to give a few examples of on-campus internships. We have two students who are doing internships with our instructional technology unit, and they are actually preparing all of the technology in classrooms prior to each class. Those are both paid internships. So we have students who are interested, for example, in theater and have an internship with the MADCO, Mid-America Dance Company. There are students that have internships with our Welcome Center and are actually serving as a welcome host. They give campus tours. So each of these internships on campus have been arranged to meet the interests and skills of the Succeed students. And we're really looking to the future. Next year, we'll be looking for off-campus internship opportunities. So we're right now trying to identify companies in the St. Louis area that have an interest in diversity and a commitment to diversity and inclusion. We would like to develop off-campus internship opportunities for each of our students because there are another kind of student in the Succeed program that really is looking for employment.
Mark, I'm sure ARC has been dealing with potential employers for a good long while.
That's
now.
Correct.
How receptive has the business community here been to hiring these people?
You know, we're seeing an increase in acceptance of diversity in the workplace. Part of that is because younger people nowadays, I speak often in universities, and I always start with the question of how many of you went to school with somebody with a disability, how many of you had somebody with a disability in your classroom. And it's about 98-99% of the students nowadays are raising their hands that they've always had somebody with a disability. Well, those people are also growing up and working in the workforce, and it's natural for them to hire people with disabilities because they've always worked with them. So we're seeing an increase there, but there's a long ways to go.
Well, this occurs to me just as you say that this program is really a two-way street, is it not? Because not only does it help the young people that we're talking about, this young group, but it also helps the public at large, if you will, understand
these
folks.
Absolutely.
These folks. That's an important part of it, Debbie.
It's a critical part of it.
Yeah. How about ARC's role in formulating this whole program?
Well, as Debbie said, that she had a conversation with our president and CEO, Kathy Meath, and Kathy always comes to me and says, I have an idea. So she now knows that I start twitching when she says that because it turns into a 5-year project.
Did you whisper it as you did?
No, no. She's always got a big smile on her face, like, oh, no, this will be a fun one. This has been a phenomenal discussion between Debbie and Kathy that led into something really remarkable. And as I've said to Debbie, I've been in this field for 34 years, and this is the thing that I'm most proud of, the accomplishment most proud of. But the St. Louis ARC has served as a consultant on this project. So we helped select the curriculum that we purchased through the Council for Exceptional Children and then have modified that to meet the needs that we're looking for in this program. We have worked and trained all the residential life staff and campus security staff on how to better support people with intellectual and developmental disabilities so that if there were issues on campus, then they were well trained for those. And then we continue to work as consultants to the project on day-to-day issues that they're dealing with and working towards this internships on campus and now off campus. One of the reasons why we selected, why we loved UMSL is their connection to public transportation. I mean, individuals learned the first week that they were on campus how to use the Metro. One of the great things about being a UMSL student is part of your tuition gives you a Metro pass so you can use all the public transportation. So individuals quickly learned how to hop on the Metro and go down to University City and hang out in the Loop. Their parents quickly learned how to put on the app of Find My Friends so they could track where their sons and daughters were going. But that's typical college life where they're going out and enjoying the community.
You know, I'm struck as we're sitting here talking about what the prospects were like or are like for people who are not involved in a program like this. I mean, you talk about parents having to stay home and care for them. And what essentially happens to these 21-year-olds who are intellectually or developmentally disabled heretofore? They just stay home. Maybe a few of them find jobs, sheltered workshops, and that sort of thing.
That's correct. So, you know, a lot of what we try to promote through the St. Louis ARC is if you cannot get employment and you don't want a program that's too much, then we help them find volunteer opportunities in the communities where they're giving back to their community, maybe for a few hours, 2 or 3 days a week, just so that they're getting out. But the issue is, you know, the longer somebody stays out of school and they're not active, their abilities sort of start fading away.
How many people do you know or would you guesstimate fall into this category in this area?
I wouldn't have a good guesstimate of that. But I know a lot of families who have had to quit their jobs and stay home with their sons and daughters.
Do you have any idea, Debbie?
Well, I do know that there are more than 2.5 million people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in the United States at this time. That's a large number of people. And to be frank, without the right kind of preparation, they're people that need support for the rest of their lives. So, you know, a program like Succeed, a post-secondary program that isn't just, you know, going to a program for a couple of hours a day, but really targets life experiences and building of independence in a variety of ways. Network building, preparing for jobs, learning to take care of yourself, you know, an all-inclusive package really offers people the opportunity of having a life after the program, of having a job, being part of a community, becoming a taxpayer, contributing to the region.
I would make an assumption here, and you'll certainly correct me if I'm wrong, but that you've got 16 students. I would guess that most, if not all of them, are on the lower end of the spectrum. That is, they are how can I put this in the proper fashion? That they are less severely disabled, if you will.
They have lower support needs. So they came into the program.
Thanks for putting it in a way that everybody can understand.
Yeah. They came into the program with some pretty substantial skills already that we're building upon. And that was key for the program. One of the reasons why we did that in the first year is we want Succeed to succeed itself. So we wanted to make sure that we were picking students that could help us, you know, because this is our first year as well, and we're growing with the program, to help us, you know, they can point out things that they would like to see it do, or how they would modify the program for next year. So that's been very helpful. But yes, right now the people that are in the program have lower support needs. As the program gets older, we certainly expect it to be more inclusive than that.
And Debbie, I would assume that ultimately the plan is to be able to have the group expand in this area.
You must have been talking to our provost. Glenn Cope, the provost of the university, and Chancellor Tom George have been really great supporters of the program, proponents, and have been behind us during the development at all phases. Provost Cope has already encouraged us to expand the number of students. We made a commitment to 16 year one and 16 year two because we really felt like we needed the 2 years to roll through the program, learn as much as we could before we determined how much we could expand in the future. I'm sure that in the future we will expand. Our commitment has really been to try to conserve the program and help the program to be successful. So we hope that, you know, if we could expand to a total of 50 in the program, that would be a terrific number.
And you'd go beyond the higher functioning young person.
There are certain criteria that we look for in terms of eligibility. And I thought I'd just mention these because it'll give you an idea of what we're looking for, the kind of student that we think could succeed in this program. So it's a student 18 through 25 with an intellectual or developmental disability, a student who demonstrates an interest or a desire to pursue post-secondary education, because, to be frank, we do have families that have applied on behalf of their child, and the child has no interest in participating in our program whatsoever. And, you know, that just doesn't work. So the student themselves, the applicant themselves, has to have an interest in participating in the program. They have to have the ability to spend time alone and manage their self-care. They have to have the ability to learn and participate in an inclusive classroom or work setting. They have to have stayed overnight without parent supervision, so experience at a camp or a class trip or a relative's home. And they do have to have the ability to follow the student code of conduct. So those are really the criterion for participation in the program. Often we will receive calls, you know, what kind of diagnosis does my child have to have? And this is really not, this program is not developed toward diagnoses specifically, but really we're looking for students who have the potential to learn as much as possible during the 2 years of the program so that they can be successful.
Is the cost to these students the same as the cost to other students in the full program?
Yes. So we developed the program specifically to make the costs parallel. Mm-hmm. The students, as I said, they live in residential housing, and they pay the same fee that all other students pay. And educational fees are also based on fees that are parallel for full-time students.
I want our audience to meet a young student who is part of the program. We'll do that in just a moment. But as we work our way toward our next break, I'm going to bring in Dan calling from St. Louis because I think he can help in this regard. Dan, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to call and thank you for doing this show. My stepson is in the Succeed program, and he's doing very wonderful. And I think Succeed and definitely ART deserve the recognition for the work that they're doing.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for the call. I know the folks here at the table are most appreciative of it, too. Did you recognize
Absolutely.
Dan?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. Dan. Hi, Dan.
He's been a great supporter.
Hello.
All right. Well, Dan, thank you. Any other question or comment you have before we move on?
No, Grayson's doing great. It's been really wonderful to see how much he's grown and matured through this program. So it's been a great benefit to him.
So you have seen a change, even though the program has really been functioning now for just a few months.
Well, yeah, for the first year, even though it's only been a year, it has shown a great difference in them and a big improvement. We're very happy.
Well, thank you so much for the call. Is this something that you have noticed? Has it been obvious progress that's been made amongst the first 16 students?
Yes. Yeah. I would say that each individually has demonstrated some growth, some more than others, but absolutely we've seen growth in everybody.
And the students have just returned for the spring semester. They, like all college students, went home over the holidays. And we heard from a lot of parents parents remarked that they had seen a lot of growth in their students. Now, some of that growth wasn't necessarily what they expected. So, you know, oh my gosh, he stays up until 2 o'clock in the morning. So I think much of their growth has been in some ways typical. And I think has been really positive. Yeah.
We have to take another break. And then when I come back, and as promised, we'll meet a young student who is part of the program right now. We are talking about the Succeed program at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. My guests in studio are Dr. Deborah Baldini, Associate Dean at the College of Arts and Sciences and Continuing Education at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Mark Keeley is Vice President of Support Services at St. Louis ARC. Back to continue this conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd love to have you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. We'll take an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd like to send us a tweet, we'll take a tweet as well. And that's at STL on Air. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our conversation on the Succeed program for the intellectually and developmentally disabled at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Dr. Deborah Baldini from UMSL is with us in studio, as is Mark Keeley with St. Louis ARC. You had mentioned something off the air, Debbie, with regard to the gentleman just called and his son, Grayson, which just tell folks quickly how Grayson has become integrated into the school community.
Well, Grayson is a great model. There are many great examples of the students in this program. Grayson actually had a lead role in the fall musical. He's very talented in performing and singing, so we're really proud of him. We also have students, for example, a young man who saw an ad in the student newspaper for a radio program. They needed a student host 1 hour a week, 1 hour twice a week. He answered the ad himself, and now he has a radio show, something that he wanted. Another student whose father was in a fraternity, so he is a legacy, was actually it participates now. He's a member of a fraternity. Now, we were a little nervous about that, I have to tell you, at the beginning, but the young men of that fraternity have been really terrific, and we see them together all the time. So that's been very, very positive. So lots of great things to say about the program.
Mark, is there any chance that these young people that Debbie has just described would have been able to do some of the things that they're able to do now through Succeed had it not been for Succeed?
I think there are certain people in the program that have personalities that they would have been able to find some of these opportunities in the community, but I think this is really helping to launch their careers and to really build their self-esteem to be able to succeed in the community.
Well, let's meet one of them now. You know the gentleman that I'm speaking of. I spoke a little bit earlier today with Tyler Fuchs, one of the Succeed program participants. He has been with Succeed since August, as I understand it, and when we had our conversation, I asked him, how has it been going so far?
I think it's a great program, especially for kids that have intellectual and developmental disabilities that would not normally qualify for, say, a college that requires ACT scores. I think it's a great program. I'm really enjoying it. I live on campus. I'm in a fraternity. I'm making new friends. The environment, the professors as well, it's just a great campus in general.
What do you think your options might have been without a program like this?
My options would have probably been maybe like a community college or a trade school or a different program where they would have job training.
Vocational type education.
Vocational type, yes, mm-hmm. Vocational type.
What sort of difficulties, Tyler, have you had in school in the past?
Well, my mathematical skills are a little bit weaker than my other subjects, especially I have a hard time with money and things like that. So I have to like physically write down, especially when I I'm adding money and things like that. Overall, schooling in the past for me has been pretty well. I went through elementary, middle, and high school. I did very well, so it's been really well.
How about getting along with other students in your educational past?
Getting along with students has been very well. I can, talk with the regular population of students as well as kids with disabilities. I'm very good with communication as far as talking and problem solving with other students as well. So I'm very outgoing.
What would you say is the most valuable component so far in the Succeed program?
The most valuable component in the Succeed program right now would be just being able to be on a college campus and getting to know everybody and just enjoying the college experience and also the support as well from the professors and the other students that live on campus.
Do you think you've changed since you've been in the program? I realize it hasn't been all that long, but do you feel you've changed?
Yes, I've had. I've had different experiences through college and becoming more independent, the main component as well. I've also, like I said, making new friends has been a big change for me, especially since I joined a fraternity. I've made a lot of friends through there. And, I'm really enjoying my college experience.
Does an internship figure in your future? I know that's part of the program for many, if not all, of the students. Is that something you look forward to or will do?
Yes. I'm in an internship right now, and I'm really enjoying it. At first I went in and I was like, maybe this isn't for me. But I went in there, I'm like, this is awesome. And for students that, are looking to find a job, they will be able to find a job, especially after this program, through their internships or continuing their education as well.
What sort of an internship are you involved in?
Right now, I'm on campus, on the North Campus, and I am in the Welcome Center. And what I do at the Welcome Center is I do tours as well as I do paperwork as well. And I'm really enjoying it because it's a great atmosphere. Everyone's kind. The tour part I can actually do, which I enjoy because I can show people around the campus. And I know the campus very well.
It sounds like something that would be great for building self-confidence, self-esteem.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Tyler, when it's all over, and if you do go on to a degree program, what do you want to do when all of this is over?
I want to continue my education and get a degree in communications. As well as when the program's over, I want to live on my own. Because I'm tired of living in my parents' house.
But that doesn't make you different,
Yeah, I know yeah. That. But I want to live on my own and do my life. So I'm really looking forward to what my future holds for me.
Do you think without this program that you might have been able to look forward to living alone?
No, I would have been able to live on my own, yes. But from where I've started to now, I don't think I would have had the capabilities of what I have now.
There may be people listening to us right now who are in your same situation. What would you tell them? What advice would you have for them?
I would tell them to check into our program because it's a great experience for kids, especially with kids that have learning disabilities and want to have a true college experience, because that's what I'm in right now. I'm in a true college experience, and I have not regretted it for 1 minute. I really enjoy everything that's been going on, especially getting involved with the campus and the organizations. The professors are awesome. Living on campus, you really get a great aspect of living at Oak Hall and, truly figuring out how to live on your own. Your parents aren't going to be there to clean your room up, tell you to brush your teeth, tell you to do your laundry. You really have to do all that yourself.
One final question. I want to be sure that I understand. You do plan to move on to a degree program at UMSL?
Yes.
All right. Well, Tyler, thank you so much for being with us. It sounds like a great program, and glad to hear that you seem to be doing so well at it.
Thank you very much, Don. Thank you for your time.
That's Tyler Fuchsia of the Succeed program at the University of Missouri St. Louis. And I have to tell our listening audience that Mark and Debbie are just beaming throughout this. And I do believe I saw Debbie wipe away a tear.
Yeah. You can see why we're proud of this program.
Yeah.
Oh, so proud of all of the students. And Tyler's just one of the group that really has every possibility to be successful and to move forward and to live a life.
That was so apparent.
Yeah, Tyler was actually a part of another program, which was over in Warrensburg, Missouri. And we went to look at the Thrive program to see how they were doing it before we actually implemented the program here. And he was the student that actually told us about the program. He left that program after the end of the first semester because he knew we were starting this program. And the reason why he left was not anything against that program, but he plans to live in the St. Louis community, and it was not helping him to learn the Warrensburg community and to make networking opportunities there. So it's really going to help them here.
How many programs, various programs, are out there for these young people?
Well, nationwide, there, as I said, there are about 150. Most of them are day programs.
You're talking about the college program, Succeed-type program.
No. The residential programs, uh-huh. There are probably 40 nationwide. Right. So one of the benefits of our 5 years of planning is we really got to investigate all of those mm-hmm. programs. We did an analysis of best practices, how inclusive were they, how much of the campus were involved in the development of the programs. We interviewed. We went on site at some in some cases. We did telephone interviews in others, but we really collected a lot of information that went into the planning of this program. And our hope is we're building a center of excellence, and that in the future, as these programs grow nationally, that people will look at our program as a model for development in the future.
I have a caller who is interested, I think, perhaps in following up on all of this. Christine joins us from St. Louis. Christine, thanks for waiting. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a daughter who's right now a junior in high school, will be a senior next year. And we had heard about the Succeed program just a little bit. And actually, I think Tyler covered most of all my questions.
He's very good at it.
It sounded like I was listening to my daughter, so now I'm really excited. And but I would like to ask kind of how individualized the program is. My daughter, she wants to go to a four-year college. She wants to move on. Developmentally, she's, I don't think, going to be ready for that right after high school, but the potential for that is there. That's what I feel. But I don't feel like she could go into any kind of a traditional college setting, or even a full caseload at like a community college, I think would be just much too much for her. And she does need to learn other skills, independent living skills and things like that. But the potential for the four-year, I think, is there. So I'm wondering about the individualization and accommodations that can be made for regular classes, I guess.
So that's, Christine, the program really is sort of modeled as a bridge for some students to go into a four-year or a two-year. We do have students who, at the end of this program, they want to look specifically at an associate's degree, and some who want to look at a four-year degree if their goal is to go on to a degree program. And it's also a bridge to employment and career development. So when we say that it's individualized, there are two kinds of curricula. So those are classes. So there are some that are really specifically designed to build skills for students in the Succeed program. So money management, financial management, time management, personal health care. If they haven't learned how to do laundry, by golly, they're going to learn it now. All of those things that really are sort of the sub-skills that allow them to be able to live independently and to be able to manage their lives so they can go to class. Then there is a secondary curricula, and that's that inclusive curricula where they're involved in classes with students who are not in Succeed. And so the first semester, as I said, all students are required to participate in the freshman year experience class. So that's one of the inclusive ones. The second year, the second semester class is also pretty well established and designed. Semesters 3 and 4 are where we begin to try to move students into classes that are really more based on their interest. So providing that they've demonstrated their ability to participate well, pay attention, attend class, because like all college students, we do see some succeed students who fall into that pattern of, you know, I'm not going to go to that 8 o'clock class. I'm going to sleep today.
Right, right.
So provided that they're meeting criterion to continue to become more and more included in classes that are related to their interest areas, we move them right into those areas in semesters 3 and 4. So semester 1 is really the focus of semester 1 for all students is living without their family. So how do they establish independence and socializing? How do they establish a network of other kinds of support, either academic or in the residence halls or time management or personal care, et cetera? So.
And then can I ask one more question?
Sure.
At the end of the 2 years, is there I guess, help with the transition, depending on which way they go? Is there
transition planning there? Is part of the program, yeah.
Through the whole thing, okay.
Yeah.
And how early is too early to start looking into this? And
well, we would love for you to find out more about the program. There are, as I said, at certain times of the year when we're in the application phase, we have open house opportunities. So you can visit the program, visit the campus, see the residence hall. We certainly would encourage you to visit the campus, and you can make those arrangements through the Welcome Center. I do have to say we have a terrific staff for Succeed. Ann Wilkins is the director, and she has she is just terrific in her leadership of the program. We have a great staff in Keshkori Wren, who's working with students now in vocational development and career identification, and Amber Grant. All of the staff in the program would be happy to provide some information. And I think what we're moving toward as we are now in the process of selecting our second year students, we're hoping that our next focus for the future will be a summer program, so a summer Succeed. It would give people the opportunity, like your daughter, who might be a sophomore or junior, to get a taste of what the Succeed program is like. To see if that would work for them as they, you know, are thinking about what to do after high school. And we hope to have more information about that as that development continues. And we would look forward to talking to you and your daughter, Christine.
Oh, thank you. Would that be something this summer that might happen, or it would be the next?
I think it's going to be for next summer. We need to get through these first 2 years. That's the associate dean in me talking.
Right. Oh, well, it just sounds like a wonderful program, and just listening to Tyler speak just brought a tear to my eye.
Yes, well, to a few eyes, Christine. Thank you so much for the call. If folks would like to apply, is it a normal application process? Do you go online? How does one do that?
There is, if you'll go to the UMSL homepage, which is www.umsl.edu. There's a field to search within UMSL, and if you just type in Succeed into that field, it will take you to the Succeed website. On the website, you'll find all the application materials, information about the program. There's a lot of information available, easy access online.
We'll put that link to your website on our website at stlpublicradio.org. We only have about a minute left. Mark, let me turn to you about the need, if there is one, for follow-up. This is a new program, but in following up on young people who get involved in programs like yours, Is that part of the whole plan?
Yeah. We want to connect these individuals with the supports that they need in the community, and certainly the St. Louis ARC is one of the agencies in town that could provide those supports. One of the key things that we are working on right now, though, is that the cost of the program, as we indicated, is comparable to what matriculated students pay, and it's very high, and right now there are no scholarships. So we're trying to develop a scholarship fund right now. The campus has an opportunity. So if we can raise $20,000, there will be a $20,000 match for that. So we want to do that to help the students stay in the program.
All right. And Debbie, again, only a few seconds left. I'm sure you'll want to be following up as this program progresses to see how they do once they leave, succeed.
We are going to follow them because we think that their future is an open book, and I mean that in the most positive way. Mm-hmm. The students in this program are going to be a great success, and we're really delighted that the University of Missouri-St. Louis and St. Louis ARC are foundational in their success.
Debbie Baldini, thank you so much for telling us about Succeed. Congratulations on the program.
Thanks.
Mark Keeley, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations to you two and ARC for your role in Succeed.
Thank you.
Making it a success, right? Thank you both. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with journalist Mackenzie Funk about his new book examining the business aspects of global warming, and there are many of them. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stopublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.